That number again is 1300 130 381. 1300 130 381. Take option four and ask to speak to the counselling team, and I'm sure they'll come back to you and let you know what's going on. Thanks, Lisa. You can say goodbye.
Goodbye. Thank you.
Thanks.
The Air News is sponsored by Seacom Australia. Are you in need of a generator for prime power or backup power for your home or business? Seacom Australia can help. Seacom Australia is currently supplying power to the major mobile network providers, emergency services and paging networks, land and water authorities, all TV stations at Mount Victoria in Warburton, and Yarra Valley FM. Seacom Australia can provide generators from 5 kVA to 250 kVA. For higher sales and service, call now on 5962 4546.
Yarra Valley FM, 99.1.
Good afternoon, I'm Michael Lynch. Victoria's Premier Daniel Andrews says the pandemic is not yet over, despite the declaration ending at midnight tonight. Changes to Victoria's isolation rules will come a day earlier than the other states and territories, with rapid testing for close contacts and wearing a mask indoors becoming strong recommendations only. Vaccine mandates still apply, though, for all healthcare workers, because Mr. Andrews says COVID still poses a risk.
Pandemic declaration obviously is central to whether it's a pandemic in a legal sense. Does that mean COVID is over, though? No, COVID is still here, and we ask for people to get tested, act on your symptoms, do everything you can not to make anybody else sick, do everything you can to make sure you don't finish up in hospital.
But as Emily Fagan reports, people in New South Wales who test positive to COVID at home will no longer be required to report their infection.
The state government is scrapping mandatory reporting of positive rapid antigen tests from Friday, coinciding with the end of mandatory COVID isolation. Failing to report a positive RAT on the Service New South Wales app carried a $1,000 penalty. But Chief Health Officer Dr. Kerry Chant wants people to continue to record their infection voluntarily, saying it helps inform the ongoing public health response. Victoria has also dropped mandatory reporting requirements.
Doves of peace have been released into the sky at Coogee today as survivors and those who lost loved ones in the Bali bombings gathered with the community to mark 20 years since the devastating terrorist attack. Clinton Maynard was there.
With drizzle falling, hundreds of people under umbrellas and wearing ponchos have watched 88 doves flying into the gloomy skies here in Coogee. As the service wrapped up, a spot of sunlight could be seen peeking through the cloud. The ceremony's heard from victims' families, but their theme has been one of hope rather than negativity towards the terrorists who attacked Kuta 20 years ago. Prime Minister Anthony Albanese telling the service the future of Australians was stolen, but the terrorists didn't achieve their aims because of the courage of others. The names of 44 people from New South Wales and Tasmania have been read out, while the other Australians who died and the Indonesians have also been remembered and a vow to never forget.
Electric vehicle owners in the Melbourne suburb of Brighton, at loggerheads with their neighbours, are demanding that electricity be rationed so they can charge their cars' batteries. A letter's doing the rounds from four EV owners in the same street who are struggling to recharge their EVs. The letter calls for a roster to schedule charging days and asks other residents to ration their power and avoid using air conditioners, washers and dryers. Well, despite rising tensions over the war in Ukraine and President Vladimir Putin's insistence that he's not bluffing about using all available means to defend Russian territory, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, NATO, is to go ahead with long-planned nuclear exercises next week. NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg says the exercise, dubbed Steadfast Noon, involves fighter jets capable of carrying nuclear warheads but without the use of live bombs. A British couple who found a jar of gold coins under their kitchen floor are $1.3 million richer. The homeowners discovered 260 ancient coins in a small urn dating back as far as the year 1610. This is Air News. Manly Sea Eagles owner Scott Penn is refusing to guarantee that Des Hasler will be at the club next season. But Penn has confirmed that they're in talks with former Brisbane and South Sydney coach Anthony Seibold.
We've been talking to Des and his manager for some time, and we're trying to find a resolution. We're not quite there yet, but we need to bring this to a head.
The manager of former Sun and now Geelong player Jack Bowes says the Cats have assured his client he will be part of Geelong's senior team. The 24-year-old featured just 5 times at senior level for the Gold Coast in 2022. Robbie D'Orazio has told Trade Radio the Cats have explained how he would fit into the side.
We sat through 2 presentations from Geelong Footy Club and they were really impressive. You know, Mitch Duncan, Patrick Dangerfield, Tommy Stewart. There were some really big names in there, and Chris Scott, most importantly, who sat there and looked in the eye and said, you'll play in our team and we'll trust that.
To soccer, and the Matildas have defeated Denmark 3-1 in their international friendly, while in the Champions League, Manchester City and Copenhagen played out a scoreless draw, while Chelsea defeated AC Milan 2-0. In netball news, New Zealand Silver Ferns and Australia clash later today in the Constellation Cup being played in Auckland. And David Warner's leadership ban will be discussed at a Cricket Australia board meeting. Australian Independent Radio News.
Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley.
I don't care what the weatherman says when the weatherman says it's raining. You'll never hear me complaining. I'm certain of sunshine. I don't care.
The weather for the glorious Yarra Valley in the coming week, today atop today of 20 degrees with showers, down to 13 tonight, top tomorrow at 17 with rain, heavy falls during the day. It's going to be a terrible day. Friday 17 with showers early in the morning and early afternoon, and then it should be not too bad. Saturday 18 with possible showers. Sunday 18 with a shower or two, and they'll be later in the day. Monday 19 degrees, shower or two, and next Tuesday 19 with a shower or two. The moment, the glorious Yarra Valley, it's 16 degrees.
Choice Tunes, every second and fourth Wednesday of the month at 2 p.m. with Alan Collier introducing a special guest each show where they reveal their selection of favourite tracks. Tune in to discover what music influenced their lives. Only on Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley.
I like the sound of that.
Welcome to Choice Tunes. I'm Alan Collier and it's my pleasure to be with you for the next hour. And what we do, we know all about this, we invite somebody in that's a leader in the community, and a lot of you will know this person, and we ask them a bit about their lives and then we work our way through the music that's been a big part of their lives. It's my absolute pleasure to introduce Gabby Thompson, and she's with the Yarra Rangers Kinders. How are you, Gabby?
Good, thank you, Alan. How are you?
I'm very well too, thanks. But it's not about me, it's all about you. Gabby, we'll get down to the Yarra Rangers Kinder later on, but whereabouts were you born? Abby, in Victoria?
No, I was born in Lower Hutt in New Zealand.
Oh, you're a New Zealander?
Yes.
At what age did you come over to Australia, Gabby?
Well, we left New Zealand. We travelled around Europe for 18 months, left when I was a baby.
Sure, that'd be
and
good.
Then from there, well, I think we went back briefly. Then we went to England. My sister was born in England. And then we came over on the boat from England to Australia when I was 4.
What brought your parents out to Australia, Gabby?
My dad is a dentist, or is retired now, and he just felt like the opportunities in Australia were better. And he had some connections over here, and my mum was a librarian and then followed in my footsteps later and became a social worker. So her work was fairly transportable at the time, so it was really just opportunity.
Oh, terrific. And did they think that there was a better opportunity for you and your sister out here than what it was in the UK or in back in New Zealand?
I think so, definitely. And my dad, unfortunately, has psoriasis, and Australia is a much better environment for psoriasis than New Zealand. So in terms of his health, that was also a better option to be out here.
It's fantastic. Gabby, we don't talk about school because everybody goes to school and so we don't worry about that much, but what was your first job? Now, it could be when you're at school, just a part-time job or your first full-time job. What was your first job that you ever held?
My very first job that I ever held was in back in the days when you had parking lot attendants. So I used to sit in my little booth, and I was a very studious, so I'd do my homework all day and people would pay me for their parking. So it was a perfect job for when I was a student.
Well, that's terrific. So what happened? So what was your first proper job, like a full-time, when I say proper job, a full-time job?
I don't know if you'd call it my first proper, but what I could consider, I guess, my first proper job, because I went down the social work path, was in Canberra. We lived in Canberra at the time, and it was in a youth refuge.
Oh, yeah.
So I was working there full-time and finishing my Bachelor of Social Work. And that was working with young people that were fairly traumatised and couldn't be placed in the foster care system. So I was doing that full-time and still finishing my university qualifications.
Gabby, what prompted you to go into social service?
It sounds very old-fashioned, I guess, but I really like the idea of helping people. And I knew from when I was really little that I wanted to do stuff where emotionally in particular I could help others, and I didn't know what it was called. And so when I was in year 10 or year 9, I think it was, I went to a careers day and I heard about social work, and that was the first time I could put a title to what it was that I knew what I wanted to do. The irony was I didn't stay in that long in that I stayed in social work, but I moved into management fairly early because I found I was better at helping people in that way than that direct contact with our client populations.
So how long were you working in that job in Canberra, Abby?
It must have been about 18 months, I think. I did that particular job, but then, moved on.
So when you say you moved on from that, is that when you moved into management or did you just move on from that job in Canberra?
No, I just moved on from that job in Canberra, but I also got pregnant in that time and it was a little bit too dangerous. Yes, unplanned, but very much welcomed.
Yep.
And it wasn't a safe environment. So these children were children and they were fairly traumatised, and there was sometimes there was some violence.
Yeah.
And so my partner and I made the decision that it just wasn't safe for me to keep doing that.
Yep.
So I moved into more youth work in a youth centre role from there.
Still in Canberra?
Still in Canberra, yep.
So then how long did you do that, Gabby?
I only did that for a while because then my son was born. So yep. I think I was only there for about a year.
Yep. And then what did you do after that?
And then still in Canberra at this stage, I moved to a place called Marymead, which offers a whole lot of sort of different social work services. So again, and I was, I guess for a lot of my career, I was always drawn to this. I worked with families where their children were at risk of going into the child protection system or what we call reunification, where they'd been in the child protection system and they were coming home after being in foster care, and we would work with them and their families to assist that transition back home to be as smooth as it can, because it's obviously some of these children have been out of home for a year or more.
Yep.
So it's quite difficult for families.
Gabby, I'm keen to find out more, and I've got a whole lot more questions for you, but we'll start to work our way down the songs that you've selected because they mean something to you. The first one, you've got ABBA and Dancing Queen. How did they make the cut?
ABBA was, I think, the first time I got, quite obsessed with music, and I've got a sister who's 4 years younger. There's just the two of us, and my evil mother used to cut our hair all the time, so we had these awful short haircuts with no style to them whatsoever. And so we used to get, back in the day, we used to get the skivvies that we wore. We used to wear these tight skivvies, and we used to put them on our heads And so the arms were like our long hair that we desperately desired but we weren't allowed to have. And we used to just race around the house constantly singing any ABBA song. Like we knew them all, but you know, by heart. Yep. And we'd flick our hair and pretend that we were these, you know, these fantastic women in the ABBA group with our long skivvies. So I just had such fun, just such funny memories of those times.
All right, let's listen to ABBA and Dancing Queen. Of course, that was ABBA and Dancing Queen, and we're talking to Gabby from Yarra Rangers Kindergartens, and we're talking about her life and also about the music that's played quite a part in her life. All right, Gabby, so we're up in, still up in Canberra. You've worked in a various area or for different people up there. So what brought you down, first of all, to Victoria and then into the Yarra Rangers?
So Canberra's a fairly transient city. So we grew up in Canberra, and By the time we'd had both of our children, a lot of people, a lot of our friends were leaving and doing different things, and we sort of started to get itchy feet ourselves. But we didn't know where we wanted to go. So we packed up our kids and we took them around Australia for 9 months in a caravan.
Terrific.
And homeschooled them for that time. That was before, you know, homeschooling was made popular by COVID. And it was challenging, but the trip was fantastic. But the very first place we came, my best friend had moved to Healesville. So we headed down to Healesville to visit her first, and we loved it. We absolutely fell in love with the place. So as we travelled around Australia, we compared everything back to our very first stop, and nothing compared. So
moving
to Healesville.
All right. Simon and Garfunkel, The Sounds of Silence. How did that get in there, Yabby?
Well, as I mentioned my evil mother before with the haircuts. The other evil thing that she used to do was death by opera. And we had opera on all the time, and I just could not stand it. It was just overkill. Yep. So forever and a day have been opera's ruined for me. And so occasionally my dad would be able to get some music on. And he loved Simon and Garfunkel, and I really liked all of their songs. But I thought the irony of The Sound of Silence was one of a really good antidote to the opera.
All right, let's play it.
How it got there.
Let's play it.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again. Because a vision softly creeping left its seeds while I was sleeping. And the vision that was planted in my brain still remains within the sound of silence. In restless dreams I walked alone. Narrow streets of cobblestone, 'neath the halo of a street lamp, I turned my collar to the cold and damp. When my eyes were stared by the flash of a neon light, it split the night and touched the sound of silence. Naked light I saw 10,000 people, maybe more. People talking without speaking, people hearing without listening, people writing songs that voices never share. I do not know. Silence like a cancer grows. Hear my words that I might teach you. Take my arms that I might reach you. But my words like silent raindrops fell and echo. Bowed and prayed to a neon god they made, and the sign flashed out its warning in the words that it was forming, and the sign said the words of the prophets are written on the subway walls, tenement halls, whispered.
Welcome back to Choice Tunes, and I'm talking to Gabby from Yarra Rangers Kindergarten. So, Gabby, you've been around Australia and nothing compared to Healesville, so obviously you brought your family home and settled in Healesville. So what brought you to the Yarra Rangers Kindergarten, and how long ago?
Not long. So, well, it feels almost like 10 years, but no time at all at once. But right. It's been 10 months.
Oh, 10 months.
Yeah, so it was really unexpected for me, actually, because as I've been saying, I'm a social worker at heart and career-wise, and this is the first time in my life that I've not worked with social workers. I'm working with teachers and, you know, worked with lots of accountants and what have you, but predominantly our staff are teachers and educators. And I think it was in the Yarra Ranges, which I am absolutely passionate about. So I have worked in the Yarra Ranges in the past, and then, you know, my work took me into the city. So I was very keen to come back out to the Yarra Ranges.
No one wants to travel the city every day, do they?
No, definitely not. And so it was an opportunity. It was too good an opportunity, I think, to just do something different, to be able to, you know, learn a new sector. But I knew a lot of the people here, which made it easier. And just to be able to bring, I guess, my leadership skills, but learn a lot myself as well. So, yeah, it's been a huge learning curve.
So, Gabby, when you first settled in the Healesville area, you've been there for a number of years, and so you had other jobs in that area or in the city, and are they still social work or what?
Yep, all my roles have been social work leadership since then.
Yep.
So, yes, lots of different roles in that time.
And the city's not a lot of fun. Coal chisel, flame trees. Why them?
This sort of represents my youth. So, and I sort of thought about my songs in order of growing up, and this is the song that sort of captures, like I said, I was a good girl when I was young, but I had a naughty boyfriend. So, you know, all of us would sneak up behind the school. This is back in Canberra still, at the bottom of Mount Ainslie for anyone that knows Canberra, and we used to have bonfires up there and just absolutely blast anything cold chisel. And so I've picked my favourite one, but the whole that era is cold chisels, just what comes to mind, and makes me still feel young at heart when I listen to it.
Sounds good. Let's listen to it.
And there's a girl
Gabby, I like to ask the real hard questions and the big questions on this show. So anyway, what was your first car? Not a family car. You personally, Gabby, who's probably not married at that stage, probably just a girl, 18 or something. What was the first car you bought?
Oh, I was very proud of my first car. It was a canary yellow Mini.
it'd be a ripper little car to get around in, though.
Oh, it was a beauty. I loved that car. Loved it.
Is it? Righto. Olivia Newton-John and John Travolta, and you're the one that I want. Why that one, Abby?
Yeah, this one is about the most important person in my life. No offence to the children. This is for my husband, who was that naughty boyfriend that I told you about before.
Yep.
So we've been together since we were 15.
I was going to say that. That means you've been together for a long, long while.
Long, long while. I turned 53 yesterday. Been together a very long while.
Happy birthday.
Oh, thank you.
All right.
And I'm an extrovert and he's an introvert. And I loved the movie Grease when I was young. Yep. Still love it, actually. And I used to want him to dance with me. You know, you would go out to the nightclubs in raging Canberra and want to get him to get up and dance. And there was no way. So I used to dance around him with this song and he was terribly embarrassed every single time.
All right.
This is for you, Ben.
Let's play it. Gabby, I didn't see you up and dancing.
No.
I thought you would have been. And your husband's not there to dance either.
No, he'd be very pleased about that.
Jeff Buckley and Hallelujah. How did that get in the cut?
So Hallelujah, I mentioned earlier, we took our kids travelling around Australia for 9 months. And Australia's pretty big, and we went right round it and into the centre and then back out again in that 9 months. So we got the opportunity to listen to a lot of music. And so we have a, you know, between us we've got fairly eclectic taste in music, but the one thing we all loved was Jeff Buckley. And we did a lot of, even though it was, a lot of the songs are very sad, but and it was a very, very happy time for us, but it's just one of those songs that you can all sing along to as a family together. And when I think about that 9 months of my life, it's probably the song that that comes to the top of the list.
Very good. Well, listen, do your children still talk about the trip, or were they too young to sort of remember too much about it?
No, they do still talk about it, and we deliberately decided to talk a lot about it so they would remember, because they were, they turned 4 and 7 while we were away, 4 and 8, sorry. So we talked a lot about it. So my younger one sometimes says, I don't know if it's implanted memory or we've just told these stories so often, but they do, they remember quite a bit. And they remember everything by the food we ate.
All right, let's listen to Jeff Buckley and Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Maybe there's a God above, but all I've ever learned from love was how to shoot somebody who outdrew you. And it's not a cry that you hear at night. It's not somebody who's seen the light. It's a cold and it's a broken heart.
I'm intrigued about the next song. It's Bon Iver and Skinny Love. Now, I'd love to be skinny too, but I'm sure that's not the reason you put it in.
No, that's not the reason I put it in. And this song, I've been trying to desensitise myself to this all week, because this song comes from our saddest experience as a family. Yeah. But it was really important to include this in here because it really shaped all of our lives. But yep. This song is for Jake, who was my son's best friend, and he was killed in a car accident when they were 17. Oh. And he was an amazing, hilarious, funny character, and he used to love this song. And he was this skinny redhead. He'd be very pleased for me to say this. And he loved this song, and this was a song that we played at his funeral. And I've not been able to listen to it, but I sort of felt like I couldn't do this without paying honour to Jake, because he was just pivotal. He was like one of our family. So it's a fantastic song, and he was just a fantastic person. So, yeah, this one's for you, Jakey.
All right, well, I'll turn the microphone off so you can cry and do whatever you like, Abby.
Thanks. Thank you.
You did very well, Gabby. You kept it all together. Buoyant and Halo. Why is that in there?
So this is the second of my love songs for my beautiful, beautiful man. This is my more serious one. The earlier ones, you know, a bit of a send-up. But Halo is my song that represents everything that I feel for Ben, my husband, who has just been my – he's our rock. He's my rock. He's seen me through highs and lows, and he's there for me all the time. And he's the best thing ever.
Terrific guy.
This song is for him.
Let's hear it.
Down.
Gabby, before we play our last song, I'd like to thank you for being part of Choice Tunes. I hope you've enjoyed the experience of putting these eight songs together and looking back over the life, your life, because you've gone right back to very young, right up to, and I'm intrigued as to what you're going to tell me about the next song. But thank you very much for being part of Choice Tunes. I know we've got you coming back later in the year to talk about Yarra Junction Kindergartens, but today is all about your life, not about anything else. So tell me, Elton John and Tiny Dancer, why did that get in there?
So this is for the other rocks in my life. We've got some very good friends, Claire and Christian, who are also Hillsville locals that we spend a lot of our downtime with.
Yep.
And we are known as the Famous Four, at least that's what we call ourselves. And we think we're very hilarious and funny, particularly when we've had a few drinks. Yep. So Tiny Dancer is one of the songs that my friend Claire, who has what I would call a very unique dance style, is a nice way of putting it, because she has a special routine for this one. So we sit mesmerised, you know, with our waving our hands as she dances her somewhat ridiculous dance to Tiny Dancer. And whenever we're having a really good night, this song comes out. So they're again, you know, the people that really influence my lives.
Terrific. All right, well, we'll listen to that. And again, thank you for being part of it. Gabby?
Absolute pleasure. Thanks for having me.
No worries. Thanks. Bye.
She hung.